Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the chocolate cake of humour, crafting it into the caterpillar of podcasts, dipping it in some melted chocolate of friendship. You got yourself a Colin the Caterpillar podcast cake.
Congratulations, Colin. You've made it.
You've made it, Colin.
That's Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant and we invite a guest in every single week and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Johannes Radebay. One of the dancers on Strictly.
Listen, I don't want to spoil our chances of getting more Strictly dancers on this podcast. So I'm not going to say that anyone is the dancer on Strictly. But
he's one of the dancers.
Is... the best one.
He is fantastic. We met him very briefly when we did the one show.
Yeah.
We were on the sofa with Johannes and Judy Murray, of course.
Yes.
And just loved meeting him. You're a huge fan of Strictly. Like, it was your lockdown was...
Yeah. The last two series of Strictly, I'll confess, I'm late to the party.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm the life and soul.
Yes, you are. Absolutely.
I absolutely love it.
You're its biggest...
I love Johannes
you're
on there.
Biggest supporter.
Yeah. I am the biggest supporter of Strictly.
Yeah.
That's why I'll never go on it, because then I wouldn't be able to watch it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I love watching it. Love Johannes on it.
Well, you could watch it live every week.
No, it wouldn't be the same.
I think it'd be better, wouldn't it?
Not if you're dancing.
No, you'd be nervous.
At least I'd be nervous.
Yeah, yeah. He's fantastic. Can't wait to speak to him.
I really can't wait. No idea what he likes to eat.
No. Nope.
So all the food choices are going to be a surprise. Also, very excited because Johannes is going on tour soon. With House of Jojo.
Yes.
Which we'll ask him more about that during
Absolutely.
The interview.
His new tour. We do have a secret ingredient, James. You're gonna be gutted if you have to kick Johannes out.
Yeah, but this is why I've deliberately pushed for
yes.
an ingredient I just don't think Johannes is gonna pick at all.
Yeah, it's a back ref to a previous episode with Steve-O.
Yeah.
Sparkling Thames water.
Sparkling Thames water. I'm pretty sure Johannes and Steve-O are not gonna be peas in a pod.
No, I don't think they're in the same pod.
Yeah, so I'd be very surprised if Johannes picks sparkling Thames water. Sparkling water's fine.
Yes.
But not sparkling Thames water. And I feel pretty good that I'm going to be able to speak to Johannes for the whole of the menu here. We don't have to kick him out.
Absolutely. So without further ado, this is the off-menu menu of Johannes Radebay. Welcome, Johannes, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, thank you for having me.
welcome Johannes Radebe to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, darlings, thank you for having me.
I'm too excited, man. Too excited.
Really?
Yeah. You know, we met you briefly on the one show. We got to share the sofa with you on the one show. And Judy Murray,
and
shout
Judy
out.
And Judy Murray, to be fair. Shout out to Judy Murray.
Absolutely love that lady. Crew.
And I did tell you how much I love you and Strictly. So
I mean, it still blows my mind that a lad like you sits on a Saturday night and watches Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is it because of your girlfriend? Tell me.
Originally,
or are you just a big fan?
Originally, in the lockdowns, she was watching it without me.
Uh huh.
And I got drawn into it, because of you and John. And I was like, I got invested in the story.
Yeah.
I was like, I want these guys to win so badly. So I started watching it all the time. I was like, I've been missing out. And now I'm a fan.
See, that makes me feel so happy.
It's great. And I met AJ from that series, AJ Dudu. And she said that series is hardcore competitive. Like, everyone was really on it and focused and wanting to win. And was it more so than other series?
Well, when is it never competitive? Yeah, I know. I think, that's the thing. That was quite special, isn't it? And I think the whole country was at home watching. And that's what made it even more special, because I was like, to the three couples that made it to the finals, it was just sad that Asia did not, you know, what happened to her happened. But you can imagine, I should never admit this, but... I was kind of like, yay. One down. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, it's true. She's right when she said it gets competitive, and you get to a point where you're like, I thought it was just an entertainment show.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, but yeah, it comes a time when you're just like, I want to lift the glitter ball.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the dancers are always competitive, but surely there's times where there's some celebrities who turn up who are just a bit like, nah. Let's just have a laugh.
That's what happens in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah,
of the show.
And then they go, yeah.
And then you see the shift in their eyes. And that's the most beautiful thing. As a professional, that's where you want them to walk. I always say, you're here to win. What are you here to do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I do think that once they get the taste of it and they start getting comfortable with the show, then you see that competitive spirit.
Yeah.
Mm. They can start at the beginning just saying, I've just always watched it. I just want to be here. Oh, it's so fun to just be here on Strictly, and it's so nice. And you do see the change.
You do. You do. I mean, I've been surprised by a couple of people. I was like, I did not expect that from you, but okay, here we are. It's nice.
My favourite is when the celebrity's really bad and they're clearly hating it, but the public keep them in for ages.
Tony Adams limping on.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Every week they're like, and you're going through. They're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Tony just wants to be put out of his misery. And he's just come back the following week.
What are you guys like? Listen, it's hard.
Oh, it looks really hard.
It looks so difficult. Like, I remember, I did 2 days on the Great British Bake Off, and it was absolute hell.
Just two days?
So I can only imagine what the first week of Strictly is like. So even the person going out in week one, I think you've already endured more than I could possibly
imagine.
I couldn't do it.
You would never. You guys would never.
Well, no, couldn't.
I think you'd look great in the gear.
Look, I look great in the gear.
Did you just go Ajay's gear?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In all the gear.
I look great in all the gear.
Oh, the sparkly gear.
Okay. I think I'd look great in all the gear.
Yeah.
But I would spoil it for everyone else.
Why is that?
I would get so exhausted so quickly, and I would not want to do it, and I would start moaning and complaining all the time.
Uh-huh.
Whoever my dance partner was would be like, I can't believe I've been saddled with the dud, with the one who's just whinging every single day about it.
Oh, you won't believe what we have to do with, but you wouldn't be a problem at all. I just think you both have such beautiful height that it would be a shame.
Well, that feels like it's a compliment, but then also you examine it and beautiful height feels like, it doesn't feel like a compliment.
Whoa, Johannes has beautiful height.
Thank you. Listen.
You may as well say you're both alive.
You were with Annie Taylor last time. She had beautiful height.
She did. And she's gorgeous. Yes. Can we discuss that? I mean, I used to look at this woman and think to her, do you know how gorgeous you are? I don't think she was, you know, she was aware of it. I don't think
she was.
Don't
think she was?
No. And I
mean, she used to be a model. I think she knows.
Nah. I think she's your girl next door, isn't it?
She's a very nice person.
Not next door to
very.
Me.
Very.
Not next door to her.
No.
Where are you from?
Ed's neighbours aren't listening to this.
I know I couldn't do it because I did a salsa class with my wife once. Uh-huh. And 10 minutes in, I couldn't do it. And I got really angry and told her that the instructor was getting it wrong. And that's why I couldn't do it.
Oh,
no.
That is dangerous. Yeah. Are you worried? No, but with this one, you'll be surprised. It's the format, I think, that works. You know.
Oh, the format's great. Love to watch it. I would spoil it.
Who do you think, if Ed was on it with that attitude, who would be the best professional to pair him with?
You need a Karen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You definitely need a Karen.
Would she keep me in line?
She definitely will. Yeah.
Was Karen with Jade last time?
Karen was with Jade last time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I see.
She is quite, she's quite strict, and I love her. And she's a grafter. I think you would do so well with her.
She wouldn't have had to work as hard as she would with Jade. But.
Oh yeah, I don't know, man. If you're saying the salsa teacher's getting it wrong,
can you imagine? And 10 minutes of that, you should give it a week.
Karen, you are getting this wrong. I would say, Karen, this is a mess.
Yeah.
No, you think about it, gentlemen. Think about it, please.
Well, always. But what I'm really excited about is catching your tour show, House of JoJo.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I feel like the past 2 years doing Freedom and Freedom Unleashed has really afforded me the opportunity to tell my story and live and thrive doing that. But yeah, House of JoJo, it's about others, you know, that I can bring along with on this journey. I'm not blind to the fact that there's not a lot of opportunities for dancers to be a part of a production that represents them and their stories. And I think there's, you know, there's quite special people out there like me that I know has to work 10 times harder to just be noticed or seen. And that is what I want to open House of JoJo to. I want to give others an opportunity. And when I talk about others, I talk about international talent as well, you know, bringing people from outside and just say, even if they do this once, you know, it's selling a dream to somebody and just giving them an opportunity. So that's why I was like, okay, you've done it. What can you do different this time around? Yeah. And I want to change the narrative for us in the industry. I really do, because I feel like this is the one place in the world where you can get to do it and be applauded for it. Mm-hmm. You don't find this theater culture anywhere else in the world. And yeah, Britain is, the UK is phenomenal for that. It really is.
How have you got, so for something like this, when you're finding other dancers, are you contacting dancers who you already know and you already have in mind, or are you holding auditions?
I hold auditions. I think it's lovely to be fair in that regard. And people that can make it to the audition simply means that they want to be there and that they want to be part of the job. I just think, you know, it boils down to whether you have the passion and the talent for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's been your hardest audition you've had to do yourself?
Myself. I think it was back in the day, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh.
And I came here to the UK to audition for it because I was working on a cruise ship at the time. And I've been there for a while, and I was looking for a breakthrough, you know, when someone wanted to do something different after 7 years of being at sea. Mm. And I came here with the hope of obviously becoming part of this production, but I completely missed the memo because I was like, okay, I'm here now, you know, where do I go? And they were like, yeah, we need 3 leads, but it will be, we need 3 white boys. And I was like, I don't want to be part of an ensemble. Mm-hmm. Like I was at the point in my career where I was just like, I don't want to be standing at the back. You know, I've done it on the ships now. Nobody gets to ever see what you do. So I was just like, okay, if this is, if I can't be lead, bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's got to be a point where you say that. No, I completely agree. Yeah.
And I did think it was stupid of me to even, you know, to even think that, because I was, they said, we can offer you a job, but you'll be part of an ensemble. And I was just like, no, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'll wait for my turn. Little did I know that turn was going to take a couple of years, you know, but Worth the wait.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's quite inspiring. Most of us would just go, yeah, right, I just have a job. But like, that's great.
Do you find your experience auditioning for things informs how you audition other people? Do you always have that in the back of your mind of what it's like to audition for things?
Absolutely. And I always say kindness goes a long way. And also there's different times, because when I was auditioning and that was the thing, you know, there was not a lot of care towards how we feel and where that leaves you as a dancer, you know, when you can't book jobs because of whatever reason, you don't meet the criteria. I mean, that, you know, they don't think about that. And I think that is something that I've been very conscious of going forward, you know, me doing it now for others. I'm like, you know, people are at a point where now they do an audition and they walk out, and then if they're not chosen, they will say to you, can I please have feedback? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that you do reply to them and you say, you know, the reason why I think you didn't get the job is because you need to improve on ABCDE. Mm-hmm. And this is how you should go about it. Because most of the time people walk in an audition and people go, bye. Mm-hmm. And you never know what you did wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes I think it's important that people know what it is that they can work, you know, go back and work on and improve. Try not to change. Do you know, there's so many things that one could take away from a feedback. And it's true. That's what I do. I really do. I think it's important.
Well, I'd like, if there's anyone listening who ever goes to see me at a gig, I don't want that.
No feedback
from my gigs. Yeah.
I think it's different from an audience rather than someone who's in charge of booking a show though, right? Yeah.
Wow.
When you do auditions for things,
yes,
do you get feedback?
Yeah, they say you were the best. We just can't use you right now. that's usually it.
And that comes through your agent, right?
Yeah, they say they absolutely loved you.
Yeah.
But they've had to go in a different direction.
Oh yeah, the amount of directions people are going in when I do auditions, it's never towards me.
Yeah, yeah.
These people are all over the map.
Don't be mad.
We decided to go in the direction of a good actor.
Yeah, I'm on the wrong bit of the compass.
Yeah.
But here you are, gentlemen.
Here we are.
Do you understand? No.
Are you a food fan?
Am I a foodie?
Yeah.
That's a good start.
No, you know what it is? I always just think to myself, I'm so busy today, I could do without food.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a pill to swallow and that sorts you out, I would be that person.
So we know what your start is going to be.
Not really that, but at the same time, I'm trying to explain that I'm an African child, you know, and it's bad of me to say that because, you know, African children don't all do this, but I eat anything. And I think it was because of my upbringing. I left home at a very young age, you know, to go live with other people, obviously trying to pursue this dancing thing. And wherever I found myself, I had to eat what those people were eating, mm-hmm. you know, and that really taught me a valuable lesson to say that, you know, it's not a thing, but you know, you can't choose, you know, when you've got a plate of food in front of you, you better eat and finish it. That's just a sign of respect. So that has really prepared my palate for the world. And like I said, I've traveled around, so I've tasted food around the world. I've been lucky enough to do that.
That to me sounds like a foodie though. Someone who will eat anything and will try
anything. But you still would rather have the food pill. You still would rather have the pill.
You see what I mean? And that's what I'm getting at.
We always start with still or sparkling water.
Still, any other day, because it's accessible. Sparkling, when I'm sitting down and having dinner.
Yeah.
I like to treat myself. I always consider it as a thing, mm-hmm. you know, to drink sparkling water.
Well, sparkling is strictly water, right?
Strictly come water.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because it's sparkling.
Is it because it's sparkling?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's got to be sparkling, right?
Oh, you say
it's,
that.
Come
no.
on. It's glittable water.
It's glittable water. You reckon?
It's Blackpool
weed. Yeah. No, listen, still, that's what I prefer.
I've put you off the sparkling now. By saying it's glittable water.
What do you guys prefer?
I'd go for still water, but I think if you want to go sparkling, go sparkling. I think it's been a pretty even split on the podcast with guests.
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of them have, yeah, it's 50-50 still or sparkling. Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of other dancers we've had on the podcast. Motsy.
Yes.
I don't know what Motsy chose. I remember Jordan Banjo choosing, well, he said he doesn't drink water because it reminds him of spit.
Yes.
So Jordan Banjo for years was dancing, but just drinking squash, like very high concentrated Robinson squash all the time and not drinking water when dancing.
He said he didn't have water until he was 18.
Yes, he didn't have water until he was
18. He only had squash. He never drank normal water.
Is that possible?
But apparently so.
Apparently.
And I tell you what, he's still got a beautiful height.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a beautiful height, Jordan.
What's happening on the inside? The body needs to be hydrated.
No, he's a mess on the inside.
Jordan Banjo's the opposite of a TARDIS. He's actually very small. He's got bad height on the inside, but he's short on the inside.
Yeah.
But see very bones. Tall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't take you anywhere. No, I can't. No, there's no way. And he's a performer and he's on stage. Like, I mean, how do you...
He's doing backflips.
Because you must be swigging water all the time when you're training and rehearsing and all of that.
Yes, I am. And then obviously when I finish that, it's Prosecco and champagne.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But when I'm active, I consciously make that decision to read that. You know, you have to hydrate. Yeah. Or else you'll fall.
Yeah. Well, what did Motsi choose, Benito?
Sparkling.
Yeah. He knew.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight away. Sparkling.
She strikes me as somebody that would drink sparkling water.
Well, I think especially if you're a dancer, you're drinking still water all the time when you're training, because you can't drink sparkling water while you're training, obviously. Well, you'd be burping all the time, wouldn't you? Yeah. Imagine doing a backflip and you do a burp during it. You might do an ultra backflip. Go through the ceiling.
True, it's fine, but I mean, if you're in the competition a couple of weeks, I can burp. It's fine.
Yeah, do a quick burp.
If you did a very,
I think I saw that once on Strictly.
Well, I was going to say if you did a very obvious and, need I say more, stinky burp that wafted towards the judges.
Where's this on the dance floor?
On the dance floor, you're dancing with a celeb.
You're hoping the burp lands in Debeck's face because that's a 10 anyway. Fingers crossed.
They smell the burp. They know you've done the burp. They've seen you do the burp. How many points do you think they'd take off for the burp? Each judge.
No, I mean, your question. Firstly, how far off would you have to be from... For them to smell...
Do you never go right up to the judges' table and do a shimmy or something?
Sometimes you go right up to the judges.
No, sometimes you do, and that's true. I'm just trying to think about it now. Yeah. Let me see. Oh, goodness.
So you're in their face shimmying and you burp.
Ew.
Obviously, Craig is the worst person to burp in front of, or burp on, or Shirley. So I think Motsi would laugh.
Yeah.
She would love it.
Standard.
But well, she'd laugh.
Motsi would take a swig of sparkling water and burp right back at you.
I mean, it would be sweet if you burped in Craig's face. I mean, it's always for... He's so serious. Yeah. I think it will make him laugh a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't know how that will go down. No, I've never.
You never thought about that?
Never thought about that.
This is
honestly
why we bring the tough questions on our menu.
Yeah, we ask the topics. This is what people want to know.
But I don't think points should be deducted for something as natural as burping.
But if it's a really big one, though, massive, I'm still talking massive.
As long as you are not out of timing and you didn't mess up your choreography, I say burp along.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As long as it doesn't affect your choreography. I shouldn't be taking off points.
Yeah, you would argue that on live television.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And what if it was just an artistic choice?
Yeah. I met Craig recently.
Oh, yeah?
Stop.
Wait till you hear this. I was doing Live at the Apollo. I was hosting an episode of Live at the Apollo. Very nerve-wracking moment for a comedian. Mm. You want it to all go well. We were the first one they were filming that night. And then just before they said, oh, we're filming something for 100 years of the BBC where Craig and some Strictly people like invade the stage at loads of different TV shows. So they're going out there first to do their thing. And I was like, right. And the audience know this. They went, no, we're just going to do it. So they went out and did a dance. The audience just sat there baffled because they thought it was Live at the Apollo. They come off. I'm like, right, okay, just get your head in the game. You've got to get this right now. You probably have a bit of work to do at the top because they're a bit confused. And I just heard someone go, yeah, we'll just do it one more time.
Yeah.
Three times they did that dance.
That was probably Matt Flint, yes.
And then I had to go out and sort of not mention it.
Please tell me, where was this?
This was at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
You.
One of the biggest gigs of a comedian's career, hosting Live at the Apollo.
Yeah.
And I had to work really hard at the top because everyone was initially baffled and then just absolutely wowed by the dancing. And then I come out in, you know, T-shirt and jeans.
And then to watch the same dance three times.
So I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, it was lovely to watch.
Oh, Strictly must be everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
It must be.
Even infiltrating the comedy shows now.
Yeah. It's a sign. You must use that as an omen.
Yeah, sure.
They like Just Stop Oil. They turn it up. As important a message, yeah. Some might say.
Yeah.
Pop knobs or bread, Johannes Radebebe. Oh, Radebe.
Actually, he called you
Radebebe. sometimes I say bebe on stuff. And I was like, this is going to be funny. And then I did it, and then I laughed
there's
at it while I was doing it.
There's a comedian from Birmingham that calls me Radebebe. I don't know where do they get it.
It's too much. Bebe is, I say it on a few TV shows, and it's been brought up to me a lot. And Radebe, I just then go into bebe. It's too much, man.
What are you like?
Who calls you Radebebe?
There's a lady that is, and she's made it her thing. And I'm just like, okay, you know, whatever floats your boat, girl. It really brings her happiness.
Yeah,
you know? It really felt good to say.
Yeah, you did. You said it a lot since you said it the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, stop! You asked me.
Sorry.
Pop-a-doms or bread.
Bread all the way. Carbs.
Yeah.
And is there anything that fills you more than bread, though?
Fills you more than bread?
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Not really.
No, it's pretty much the most filling thing on the planet, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's the most gorgeous. I mean, I've lived off, you know, cheap bread, jam and peanut butter. But now I live next to a baker. I have to say I'm grateful for life. Really, because to have focaccia that is mixed with olive oils, little bit of oil and salt in the morning, and it's hot. It was like heaven to me.
Yeah.
You went almost spiritual there.
Well, it was spiritual.
Yeah.
The listeners couldn't see it, but
yeah,
Johannes literally
looking up to heaven.
He literally gestured up to God in heaven. In heaven, as say you were grateful for life. You looked up, did a little gesture.
That is my everyday routine without fail. I literally walk into the baker and I just stand there and then they deliver my vanilla latte with my focaccia bread.
Oh, so focaccia for breakfast?
Focaccia for breakfast. I know, I'm terrible.
And are you just eating the focaccia, just chunks of the focaccia?
It's like that.
So massive.
It's massive.
Yeah.
That's your breakfast. That's your breakfast.
Oh, that's joyous.
So you're having that whole thing.
Yeah.
At the start. Do you want your latte with it as well? As part of your bread course?
That would be fab.
Yeah?
Yeah, nobody makes my latte like that beautiful lady.
Yeah.
And if she's not at work, I don't order that latte.
Yeah. Because nobody
makes your latte. Oh, I don't know why that tickled me so much.
Well, the sentence, nobody makes my latte like that beautiful lady. You don't know why that tickled you? You know exactly why. It's a funny, funny sentence.
So quietly as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't get you to name the place because then you'll blow up your spot.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to go there. But they'll know. That beautiful lady will know.
That beautiful lady will know. Yeah. She'll know.
Absolutely.
She's a big fan as well. So it's nice.
So if she's not there, you don't get the vanilla latte.
I don't, honestly. I don't.
So if you go in there and the ugly man's there, you're not getting the...
I just
no one fucks up a vanilla latte like the ugly man.
My latte.
Yeah, sorry.
No one ruins my latte like that ugly man. It's the opposite.
I think that's great. I don't think we've ever had a bread course with a coffee before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like
that's a good way to start the meal.
I just thought of a question that I've got about Strictly.
Are we going back there? Tell me.
You know, on episode one of each series, and they do the bit where you meet your partners for the first time.
Yeah.
Do they know that is who they're going to get before you come through? Is that real surprise?
It is.
Good, just so I know.
It is.
Because I always watch it going, I'm not sure if this is real surprise or not.
Let me tell you something. It frustrates me because you can imagine I want to know.
Yeah.
And if I don't know, I struggle in life, you know, and I do everything in my power to find out. But it's the integrity thing with BBC, and I absolutely adore that as well, you know, because then you know things are done fairly, you know. It's a very hard show, so you would like to think that the ship runs, you know. But it is, it really, really is, and yeah, as much as we would try and work it out as to who will end up with who as they are announced, mm-hmm. you know, you never guarantee that it's going to be like that.
So you know that, yeah, you obviously know the lineup.
The lineup.
So yes. There's no chance of you walking in there and going, who the fuck is that?
It has afforded us an opportunity to run on Google and check, you know, to say who's who and what's who. And that, it really does.
Yeah, that's lucky.
I mean, we're not from, you know, I always say it's the most interesting thing because most of us are not from this country, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to be very well versed with what is happening to know some of these people mm-hmm. that come onto the show, you know. I mean, can you imagine?
But also, some of you, it's your first, when it's your first series, and the celeb always sees this dancer for the first, it's their first series, and the celeb always goes, no way! It's like, you know that. Well, you've been hanging out on cruise ships for the last 7 years. You should watch it, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I do, I dip in and out.
You do, Ed?
I dip in and out.
You've never sat through a whole show, though, have you?
I have sat through a whole show.
Really?
From my mum's. She watches it religiously. So I watch it with my mum. She absolutely loves it. She'll be over the moon to hear that you're coming on the podcast.
Ah, that is sweet. I know Mum will be happy. I don't know about you. So what do you want to tell me? That
I'm delighted that you're
telling
the
truth, Ed. I don't actually know the truth.
It is okay. What?
How much you watch Strictly?
I dip in and out.
He's dips in and out. I mean, that's, you know.
For my birthday present, tell my girlfriend got me a cameo from, and I'm sorry I don't know his name, but...
Now tell me everything.
Great present.
The ginger haired dancer who stands in the background.
Oh, what?
Why am I laughing?
The guy, he stands in the background.
Neil Jones.
Yeah, great.
Why do you say he stands in the back?
Well, in the two series that I've watched, he's not had a dance partner.
Oh, yeah.
So the two series I've watched, he's been standing behind Claudia or someone, and he'll be hyping up what's being said, and he'll be leading the gang.
Oh,
and,
Neil.
And then he'll do the group dances. And I really like watching him.
Weird that you couldn't just get that directly. We worked with his ex-wife.
Sure, but that was after I got the cameo. Okay.
Yeah,
that was after I got the cameo. We went up against Katia and went on the run.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like the ex-wife was going to help you. But
But yeah, you know, I got a cameo from him for my birthday telling me that I was going to go and see Big Thief.
The ginger dancer stands in the background.
Yeah, because she knew how much I loved him.
Does she love him?
Yeah, but I he's my favourite.
Did you know?
I'd always point him out.
Really?
Yeah, I'd always be like, look at him. Look at what he's doing now. I loved it.
You love him so much that you didn't know his name even after you got a cameo from him.
No, it was funnier to not know his name. It's funny to go look at him that way, nodding,
it really or he'd
do
is.
It. He'd be doing it, yes, and everything everyone was doing.
Yeah,
someone else was doing some funny little gesture. He'd adopt it as well and do it in the background.
Great,
he's our prankster.
Yeah,
loved it. I call him the prankster.
Loved it.
There's no laughter without Neil.
Yeah,
honestly, he's fun. He's fun.
That's a lovely way of putting it, because I would expect you to say there's always laughter with Neil, and you said there's never laughter without Neil. So no one's laughing until Neil's there.
Yeah.
It's a miserable show.
No,
and you're all just sat there silently waiting for Neil to turn up.
No, but you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's you must see the rehearsal period. You know, there's never a dull moment. And that's the fun thing about them, you know. And we always say we're a family before anything. Uh-huh. And I think that's the truth. Because if you see us behind closed doors, we're a crazy bunch.
That's what we say about ourselves. Us three, we're family. Let's get into your dream menu proper. Your dream starter. What is your ideal dream starter? And don't say the pill.
It can't be a pill.
It's not. Listen, I was home for the past couple of 3 weeks, actually. And I was just reminded of how good home is, actually. Have you ever had flour? And what you do with the flour is you put a little bit of yeast, salt, vegetable oil, and you take that dough and you dunk it in oil. Deep fry it, comes out as like, looks donut-y, but you eat that. And if you want to be navely or you've got the munch to do it, you can buy snook fish and eat it with achar, which is made of mango, vinegar, salt and sugar. And you mix and you have that together. It's the most delicious thing. I can't explain it to you guys. And I was just like...
So it's like fried dough, basically.
It's like fried dough, yes.
But with like a mango and, did you say snook fish?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard of snookfish.
Have you noticed a fish?
Snookfish, yeah. I believe you. I'm not suggesting you made a fish.
I know. Check it out. It's the way it melts in your mouth.
Is it white fish?
It's white fish.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's when you, if you posh. I say that if you posh, because it's quite expensive, mm-hmm. as you can imagine. And it's quite a delicacy. So I always say acha or empaloni.
I don't think I've had that.
You never had
poloni? No, it was poloni.
Viennese. You know Viennese?
Viennetta.
Not Viennetta. Oh, Jesus. How do I explain?
Viennese well.
Poloni. How do I explain poloni, please?
Well, I can't help you out with explaining poloni. I've got absolutely no idea.
We're the ones who explained it to.
Jesus. Made of all types of things, and it's a bit disgusting. I don't.
Should we start naming ingredients? You can tell us what's in it?
In the bologna?
Yeah,
it's everything.
Okay.
Oh, Weetos.
Yo, no. So,
marshmallow.
No, nothing. It's savory. Two, come through.
Oh, savory come through?
And when I say Viennese, you know what you call it? Sausages.
Oh, okay.
The inside of a sausage, yeah. Right?
Okay.
So imagine at a factory...
Yeah.
Meat factory.
Yeah.
You take all that meat.
Yes. Yeah. And what are you doing with it?
That's
it's a meatball?
Not a meatball. Like a sausage. You put it in a thing. Exactly. It's like hummus. Like you know that you can take and spread it on any.
It's like a sort of spreadable.
Like
spreadable
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's made of all meat and sometimes meat that's gone off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they package it nicely and they
so it's like using up other bits of meat as well.
Exactly.
And
what is left
new.
Off.
Yeah.
In order to not waste things.
Yeah. Tell some of the best foods were created, I think. Some of the best dishes were using waste products or things that normally get thrown away and working out a way of cooking them to make them delicious.
Oh, well, you say that. Without bologna, there's nothing else, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But we know back home in South Africa, but I mean, you talk about other foods, darling.
Hang on. Were you saying bologna?
Wow, bologna. Can you imagine bologna if you had to squeeze it out of its
right.
packaging?
Okay, yeah.
How would it
this
come out?
This is bologna, yeah.
Yeah.
Squeezy bologna.
Squeezy bologna, yeah. So to speak.
Squeezy bologna.
Would you say bologna?
Yeah, bologna, which is like bologna meat, right? Which is like luncheon meat sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So bologna must... is
I
like
think
a...
you've confused matters.
Oh, no.
With this bologna talk.
He's on about something. That's just how we would say it in Africa.
Talking absolute baloney.
Benito's showing you an image there on the screen to see if that is it.
Fet cook.
Fried bread is called
fried bread.
Fet cook.
Magwenya, you can use mince with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff it with mince. That's what a lot of people do.
So you're dipping the bread in all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you eat.
Delicious.
It's cheap, easy to make, and it can feed an army of people.
Nice.
That's a great start.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful starter.
And not a pill in sight, so we're doing well.
Yeah.
Dream main course.
Like I said to you, I think I'm spoiled and it's not a bad thing sometimes. But I go home and like I was saying, African delicacies, I had tripe now the other week. You know, and I forgot how beautiful tripe is. And what happens is at home is that we have veggies that are homegrown. So it's lovely and accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that they do a lot of that. And then they do tripe. And then we have semp, you know, to go with that. You know, semp.
I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
Semp and beans. Oh, you know what? I don't know how to explain semp to you.
Is semp vegetable or is it like a grain?
No, it's like a grain.
Yeah. Is it like sort of a more solid sort of polenta-y type thing?
That is what you call fufu papa.
Ah,
you're okay. Talking about. And that's just also another one
to
use with tripe, isn't it? But I prefer my mom to make the tripe, clean it.
Mm-hmm.
When she's done it, then I'll eat it. Because the last thing that you want is to be eating tripe and then... sand or it's not washed properly or anything of that sort after all those intestines.
See, this is the thing. You're saying you're not a foodie, right? But if a British person was in here saying they weren't a foodie and I suggested tripe to them, they'd probably walk out.
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just... if we talked to like Rylan or someone.
Yeah.
Who we did earlier today talked to Rylan, so that's why it's in my head.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely appalled at anything that we chose.
Yeah.
Really?
That was remotely like that. Yeah.
See, I think In this country, I think if a British person says, I'm going to eat some tripe, they would be seen as an adventurous foodie.
Yeah.
For sure.
Stop it, double stop it.
I will not double stop it.
Triple stop, double stop it, actually.
I'll double carry on.
Whoa.
No.
Sorry.
Are you guys, you know, are you, do you guys
consider yourself adventurous? I'd eat tripe in a heartbeat, and I'd eat heart in a tripe beat.
Ed is more likely to eat tripe in a heartbeat, heart in a tripe beat than I am. Yeah. He loves tripe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He'd probably go to that. That'd be his go-to. I would try it if I'm just interested and like, oh, I haven't had that before. I'm going to try that thing. I accidentally ordered brains in a cafe in Holland because I'd done the Google Translate on the menu and it said it was something else. So I ordered them, sounded delicious. And then they bought these deep fried brains, but they were delicious. I just didn't know that that's what I'd ordered.
That was you were eating.
Yeah, when they brought it over, they said, here's your brains. And I was like, what? And I was like, well, you know, they should be using the whole animal. So, you know, I'm not going to send it, but I'm going to try it. Delicious and very fluffy, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Brains are good, man.
You see, really?
Yeah.
You see, I've eaten everything, but I've never tried that. Stop it.
You might should be next on the list.
Yeah. Where do you find it?
Well, where did I had brains at Gymkhana once.
You did. Gymkhana's a great Indian restaurant here. I guess just like the kind of restaurants that will try and use, there's some that, you know, their whole kind of ethos is to use the whole animal. So that those kind of places would sell.
St. John.
St. John there.
What kind of animal is it?
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't know what kind of animal's brains it was.
Oh, Jesus.
How big was the brain?
Oh, it was the size of a human being. I think it was a
I've had a duck
cow?
Brain before out of the duck skull.
Hey, come on.
That's disrespectful. It feels disrespectful.
They brought the whole head of the duck.
Like at the end of Hannibal?
Yeah.
It was alive?
Yeah, it was a duck Hannibal. It was quackable.
Quackable.
And you know what? It didn't taste that great and I didn't feel that good about it afterwards.
Bill, duck bill.
Is this true? Are you not pulling our leg?
No, I'm not. I've got, do you want to see a picture?
Don't.
Now.
He showed me this picture. It's not
Are
nice.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
It's
not
on a plate.
Nice.
A head of a duck.
Yes.
Where were you?
I was in Noma. Regularly voted the best restaurant in the world in Copenhagen.
Yeah. Very good restaurant.
They do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
By the sort of people who eat duck brain, I think.
By Elmer Fudd.
Hannibal was very good.
Hannibal, thank you. I'm still trying to get my head around what Johannes' actual dish is, because I'm looking at it here.
Tripe, samp and beans.
Samp and beans. And we haven't... Oh, I'm being shown what samp is here. This satisfying recipe from What's for Dinner will have your family reaching for second scoops. Samp and beans need no introduction to South Africans. Well, that doesn't help me. Oh, simply corn kernels that have been dried and pounded before being chopped into large pieces.
Yes, that sounds kind of about right.
And then some spices. Some spices
definitely,
in there.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So far, the menu is quite, it feels quite South African. You're sort of gravitating back home with this meal. Is it a comforting sort of food?
It is. Yeah. It's comforting food, honestly. And I have to say, cheap, you know. And it's nice. It's nice, isn't it? It's always nice to eat cheap and nicely, I think. Mm-hmm. I think.
Oh, I completely agree with you. But then also, it's your dream restaurant. So if you want to throw in some expensive stuff, you can.
True that.
So don't you worry.
True that, but I don't know about duck seed and brain.
Oh, no, you don't have to have the duck brain. It's
not
fine.
The
no.
You're
still on, yeah, you're still on that. Yeah, I understand.
You can't stop thinking
I
about
can't
that now.
Get it over my
I understand.
Head.
It's a weird thing you've
well,
yeah. Has
want,
it changed how you look at it?
My wife didn't want hers, so I had to eat. I ate two.
Kind of, sort of, because I'm like, where I would love to be in your brain.
Oh,
well, I'll crack it open. Grab a spoon. I will try anything.
Anything.
And it was, so you get a bit, at Noma, you get, it's a massive tasting menu. So you get like, I don't know, 15, 16 dishes or something, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even more.
Yeah.
So this thing's constantly coming and there's new things you never heard of. We had bear on that day as well. There was a bear dumpling.
What?
There was a bear dumpling. You've been there.
Benita looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah. Bear dumpling, which is like a little dumpling and then with a little picture, like a picture of a bear on the top. There was the duck brain. And actually the best dishes were the veg dishes, which...
You know.
Yeah, they were tasty.
You would think that. Yeah.
And they were just normal veg as well. They'd done really well. It wasn't like a carrot that had been up a rabbit's arse or anything. It was just like normal veg. Cruelty-free, you know?
Rabbits like carrots too much to stick. They're eating them. They're not sticking about their ass.
I'm not saying they were doing it. It was one of the chefs, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. thank you for this afternoon. I don't know where last and I haven't laughed like that today. That's good.
We're almost as funny as the ginger guy in the background. Turns out you don't need him to have laughter.
There's no laughter without James and Ed.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Well, we're moving on to your dream side dish now.
You know, calamari. Calamari, you can wake me up any time of the day or night and say, let's go. I don't know, there's something about calamari. It's the taste in it. I'm not a seafood person or anything of that sort, but it's calamari and I don't want it battered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Just no. the squid rings? Yeah.
As you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's when it's, you know, try and bite it and you can't get through it and it... Oh!
So who's, in your mind, who's waking you up in the middle of the night with a bowl of calamari?
Who would be the best person? Ideal person to wake up in the middle of the night with a bowl of calamari?
Should be somebody you love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it should be, but according to you, you just eat the calamari straight away, so it actually doesn't matter who it is. So it could be a robber. If a robber broke into your house and wanted to distract you while they stole everything, they'd just wake you up and go, Janice, calamari. Like, what?
No. You know what I mean. It would be lovely to, you know, to eat something from somebody that you actually like.
For sure.
Yes. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I guess you'd be less scared than if it was a robber. So there's not really much on. Is there a place where you've had the best just calamari as it is, not fried, like where you've, a restaurant maybe, where it's like, this is the best version of this dish?
Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I also found that place by fluke. You know, we were lost. A friend of mine, we were driving in the mountains and we ended up in this small, it's a village, whatever you're speaking. There was this just beautiful place just hanging at the top of the hill. And I thought to myself, okay, what's happening? I walked in there, very unassuming, but obviously they get their fish and their everything right there. Never tasted anything like that. So I've made it a thing that every time I go down to South Africa, and I am in Cape Town, I don't do Cape Town without going past Koi Koi. It's a must. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Even if I'm there for 2 days, I take the drive.
Wow. Sounds amazing.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's also just how fresh it is. And you know what I mean? And they do everything in front of you. So, and it is a family restaurant as well. It's just beautiful. And I always think it's the thing. It's not even, sometimes it's not even about the food. It's about the people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That cooks that food and that brings people together. I don't know. No.
So it's quite simply prepared. So it's not battered or anything.
No,
just,
no.
Is it grilled or?
It's grilled. Grilled. It's fried sometimes, you know, like just on open fire. I'd love to take you guys to Koi Koi.
You may.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Why is it that we trust? Because I'm the same. Why do we trust family run restaurants so much? I always like when I see it's family run, I'm like, oh, great. But like if my family run a restaurant, it'd be awful.
Yeah.
No disrespect to my mum who is in the next room listening.
The lady can't cook. She's a wonderful lady, but she's not a chef.
She's a brilliant cook. He just winds her up. Just tries to wind her up.
What are you like?
I've cooked one of her recipes before. She's never exact about the ingredients that you need. No. And it doesn't work out.
She was very exact about it, and Ed didn't listen. And he decided to just get whatever he wanted and put it in. And it didn't work out, and then he blames my mum.
Not specific enough.
No.
She's very specific.
Yeah.
She said condensed milk, and he got evaporated milk instead. So, no. Yeah, there you go.
Same thing.
I can't take you anywhere. Do you take him seriously?
I can't take him seriously when he's behaving like this.
James. Does your mama let him get to her?
Well, I don't know. That was during a cook-along we did over Zoom during lockdown. She didn't do another cook-along with him after that, let me tell you. So maybe...
You were vast.
I didn't do another cook-along with her. She was inviting me all the time. I didn't tell you this.
She didn't invite you all the time?
Texting me every day going,
what?
You should come and do another cook-along.
I didn't know that happened.
Blocked her number.
I didn't know that.
Blocked her number.
I didn't know they had to block my mum's number because she was asking to do cook-alongs so frequently. Sorry,
I had to stop
learning
anywhere.
This for the first time.
No, listen, we'll ask
I can't
Mama
hear her objecting from the next week, so I guess it happened.
Don't stop, Ma, can you hear this?
No, I messed up.
Yeah.
I messed up big time. Still ate it, though.
Yeah, he still ate his awful ice cream that he made. What famous family do you think would run the best restaurant?
Oh, good question. And who would run the worst?
So I'm thinking of, like, you know, the Osbournes.
No, that'd be a disaster.
No way. You know who I would love to see in a kitchen?
Yeah.
Just for giggles. It's the Kardashians. Like, do they even work?
Well,
in that regard, you know.
I'd love to see the Kardashians in a kitchen.
Can you
sure?
imagine Kim Kardashian? And they must also make Tribe.
Yeah. They have to make your menu.
Yeah, they have to make Tribe. Yeah,
do you want that for your dream menu, the Kardashians are making?
You said, which family? No, I wouldn't want the Kardashians cooking my food. No. No, but it would be interesting to see some of people like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
It couldn't be one of those galley kitchens. Their butts aren't fitting in there.
Ed. I'm sorry, Jack. I'm sorry that you had to hear that.
Well, their butts aren't fitting in a galley kitchen.
Oh, come on. Benito's having a write down.
Why? It's a famously big butt. It was on the cover of a magazine. Really? How big it was.
What? You're making that up.
He is making
it up. You remember the magazine cover?
With a champagne glass.
With a champagne and the glass was on her butt.
Sitting on her butt.
Because it was so big. So imagine that in a galley kitchen.
Is a champagne glass going to be on her butt in the galley kitchen?
Well, not for long. Probably keep opening the fridge by accident.
It's called BBL.
Yes.
BBL?
BBL.
You know?
Yes. Brazilian butt lift.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. And if you'd told me, guess what BBL stands for?
Yeah.
I would not have got to Brazilian butt lift.
Yeah. People go and have a...
Uh-oh.
The butt lift's kicked in.
Janice's chair just broke because of his BBL. you BBL'd that chair big time, Johannes.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm an African boy. I've got a bunda.
You've got to keep it in now.
Benito's now crossing out to cut all the stuff about the galley kitchen because he knows that I'm a South African boy, I've got a bunda, is too funny. He has to keep it in. So there you go.
Sorry, man.
Your dream drink. And when you arrived here today, we had a lot of choices of drink for you in the fridge.
You did. And thank you for the champapo. Thank you for the champapo.
Would that be your dream drink or would it be something else?
A Prosecco with a shot of lychee. Divine. Or a Ponstar Martini.
Wow. Okay. This is good. This is good. They're sort of similar flavors, I guess, because you get a shot Prosecco with...
With a Ponstar Martini. Yeah. Yes, our Prosecco is my drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will be consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it gets me there quicker, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing else does than Prosecco.
Ponstar Martini, I'm always unclear about what, because it's a shot of Prosecco, but what's the main drink?
Well, it's different things, isn't it? But you do have syrup. They've sometimes got granadilla. They put a bunch of alcohol in it. Come and stop.
Is it passion fruit as well?
There is passion fruit. Yeah. And what else is in that passion fruit? The one in Soho. He's the man that introduced me to a Ponstar Martini.
Who's in agent, the next
room? Absolutely. With a couple of years ago with your mother.
Hammered. They're both hammered.
Both absolutely hammered. Drinking condensed milk. And then a shot of evaporated milk afterwards.
What's the name? Do you remember the name of the place in Soho that you have the Ponstar Martini?
And what's the name of that place? The O Bar.
The O Bar.
The O Bar.
In Soho.
It's a very old place, but looked after very well. The food is divine. And the Ponstar Martinis don't taste like anywhere I've been. And he introduced me to it.
And you've never looked responsible. Back.
I guess everywhere I will go. I mean, if it's, you know, let's be honest, you have to go to a posh establishment to get a Ponstar Martini, or else it's just not Ponstar Martini. Yeah, you know what I mean? No, I just, yeah.
It's an amateur Ponstar Martini.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you have to have bits in it.
Yeah. Like a married couple have made it at home.
That's not cute, but no.
Yeah, that isn't cute, actually.
No, but I mean, Prosecco and lychee, you would feel like you're drinking some exotic drink, if you know what I mean.
What is it, like a lychee? Is it like puree? Is it that they put
lychee
in?
Liqueur.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a pink bottle. I get it from Amazon.
You rolled your eyes there.
Because sometimes I go to Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
So you're making these at home as well. This is your at home drink.
Absolutely.
A hard day's work, straight back for a lychee and Prosecco.
Prosecco, bit of mint. And you can use also sparkling water just to dilute it.
Yeah.
You're gone. Try it.
Have you ever made a Ponstar Martini yet?
No, I haven't. Should probably learn what's in the drink.
Whenever you refer to a Ponstar Martini, I know you love it, but also you refer to it as like that drink. Like it's caused you some problems in the past.
It has. A few of those, you lose all your inhibitions. And yeah, not my finest moments, but I was out there on that freedom pole swinging. Yeah.
I would be interested to hear why it's called a Ponstar Martini.
Yeah, I've never known. And also, I've never had one, definitely never ordered one, because I feel uncomfortable saying I would like a Ponstar Martini.
Why is that?
I guess I'm a little bit of a prude.
Interested in that, because a lot of guys would never, and then they, you know, and then they taste it and they're like, oh my gosh, I've been missing out.
Yeah.
And I always ask, is the shape of a glass, is that the reason why?
No. What's the shape of the glass?
What is it because, you know, the glasses that they use for Ponstar Martinis, they're a bit swanky, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I love a swanky glass. Yeah.
Really?
It's just that if it was called anything else, well, not anything else.
I would have a Ponstar Martini, but at home with my curtain shut, and then I'd get rid of the evidence before my wife got home.
Going to drink it with her.
No way.
That's what she would say, though. She caught
the Ponstar Martini and then say, I was just having a beer. Yeah.
I get
you don't look like you were having a beer.
No, listen. You must be very brave to be ordering porn star martinis.
Benito is showing me the Wikipedia page for porn star martini. He's taking Safe Search off to get this up. It says a passion fruit flavored cocktail made with vanilla flavored vodka, passion fruit juice, passoa, I'm not sure what that is, lime juice, traditionally accompanied by a chilled shot glass of Prosecco. Created in 2002 by Douglas Ankara. And that's not a hyperlink, so I can't see who Douglas Ankara is. He's owner of Lab London Bar and the townhouse in London.
Stop, you want to tell me that Ponstar Martini originates from the inn?
It was inspired by a visit to Maverick's Review Bar, Gentlemen's Club, a nude strip club in Cape Town, South Africa.
Wow.
Stop.
It's named after a strip club in South Africa.
I didn't know you have strip clubs in South Africa.
This is amazing.
Maverick's Review Bar, Gentlemen's Club.
It's one of I think your only dish so far that we didn't think was to do with South Africa.
I know, and there you go.
No wonder you love it. Every time you taste a porn star martini, you're tasting a little bit of home.
Also, in terms of the name, Ankara claimed he used the porn star name to evoke a stylish and confident drink that's pure indulgence, sexy, fun, and evocative. Ankara also denied being a fan of pornography.
You can't have it both ways, Ankara. You can't say it's sexy and confident and go, but I don't like that mucky stuff.
I don't like porn. What did you call the drink? You invented one drink and you called it a porn star martini. But I don't like it. Disgusting.
Oh, please. I don't like it.
So it's Cape Town again. I thought it was going back to Cape Town, man. Mad. That's quite exciting.
That's cool.
I'm being serious. I never knew that we had strip clubs in South Africa.
There you go. There's a strip club in Kettering for a very short amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very short amount of time.
What did you do to get it shut down?
I refuse to dance anymore. We arrive at your dream dessert.
Do you have a sweet tooth?
No, not really.
Okay. So would you not normally have dessert then when it's
no,
on offer?
I think it's too much.
Well, of course, if this is your dream, this is your dream restaurant.
Yeah.
So if you don't want dessert, you can just skip dessert or have something else in its place.
But if there is like a dessert that you really like, then obviously pick it because it's dessert time.
But no pressure.
Games, okay.
If you don't want dessert, you can pass. Or okay. You could have, if you want something else savoury, we could give you that.
I've never actually a savoury dessert.
Yeah, well, or just ridiculous.
You know, so you could have like a cheese board or just an extra savoury course at the end instead if you don't really want anything sweet.
I mean, listen, I wouldn't. A malva pudding has never hurt anybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's common. You find it everywhere. You can never get it wrong.
Which pudding?
Malva pudding, yeah.
What's malva pudding?
How about
honestly, you need to get some sort of medal because so many of the foods here. You've stumped us with.
From pretty much all of them.
What's the malva pudding?
The thing is, I don't have the vocabulary to explain to you guys what the bloody shit is. That's
Benito's
the problem.
Got the laptop, so it's fine.
Here we go. Wikipedia to the rescue again. Malva pudding.
It's named after a strip club in Cape Town.
Place of It is of South African origin. It contains apricot jam and a spongy caramelized texture. A cream sauce is always poured over it while it's hot. It's usually served warm with custard or ice cream.
Is it like a cobbler, James? Tell me.
Doesn't look like a cobbler to me. It looks like a treacle, I guess a treacly sponge. Like for me, it looks like a bit like a treacle sponge.
What is a treacle sponge?
But it's apricot jam.
Jam.
And has a caramelized texture to it. Hot sponge cake.
Sounds delicious.
It is divine. And when I say, you guys don't do malva pudding yet? I thought it's something that would have stolen.
I've never heard of malva pudding.
Would have taken from you guys.
No, apparently not. South African origin.
Yeah.
It turns out so is the Born Star Martini. So.
Yeah.
Stop. I have to say, I mean, we have adopted a lot of things from you guys.
Really?
Yeah. What you find here, you basically can find there as well.
What kind of stuff have you adopted from us?
Everything. I mean, in the last thing, when you were talking to Moose, actually, you guys had a conversation about Marmite.
Mm.
And it's so true that you don't go anywhere else in the world and find Marmite. Only and where people actually eat it. People eating Marmite here, and I'm always like, why?
Yeah, you don't like it.
I think it's horrible. I think it's horrible. But I guess it's that thing as well. It's either you do like it or you don't.
Yeah.
That's the phrase.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
If you do like it or you don't.
Yeah. I think I love Marmite, but I've always had Marmite since I was a little kid. So I think you need to be taught to like it. And then also now I see it as a point of pride that I love Marmite. So when anybody outside the UK says, why do you eat that? It's disgusting. I'm like, I like it because I like it. It's delicious.
Well, he's spreading it on his duck brains.
Yeah. That would work, actually.
Stop.
It would. And I spread Marmite thick as well. Like I used to spread it like an inch thick.
You can just speak your mind to him at this point. Yeah. It's because like he's deliberately trying to gross
you out. I don't know. I honestly don't know. No.
I love Marmite. I love all the Marmite produce that they make. The Marmite cheeses, Marmite butter, Marmite peanut butter.
Marmite chocolate. That's a thing.
Marmite chocolate. It's good. Marmite chocolate's good.
Where do I live? Where have I been?
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to be responsible for Johanna's leaving the country.
Where do I live?
No, big series, right? Yeah. I'm sure that must be a creation, but who makes?
The Marmite company.
The Marmite, they make chocolate.
Yeah, and then there's also a chocolatier called Paul Young who occasionally makes like these chocolates with Marmite in them, but that's like
Camden.
He might have had a place in Camden at one point.
He does Saturday Kitchen all the time and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the ginger guy that stands in the background.
If only. Every show needs them. Every show needs a ginger guy in the background. Full respect.
Ah, you kill me, you know that.
He makes fantastic stuff, and he's done, which is actually, and I love Marmite, was slightly too much. They're for proper Marmite lovers, which are like chocolates with like a big glob of Marmite in the middle. So you bite into them. Instead of caramel, it's Marmite. It's not for beginners.
No, I bet. Very acquired taste. Paul, now that you said it's Paul who did it, I mean, I would love to just put my tongue on it.
Yeah, he makes good stuff.
He does. Yeah, he does.
He does. I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. You want sparkling water. Pop onto bread. You want it for focaccia with olive oil and salt and the vanilla latte made by the beautiful lady. Starter.
Vet cook
with snookfish and polony. Yes. Main course, tripe, samp and beans. Side dish, calamari. Drink, prosecco with a shot of lychee, liqueur and dessert, malva pudding.
That sounds like a dream.
That's good. Also, love episodes where I'm introduced to loads of new things to try.
Yeah.
Looking forward to trying some of that.
I'm taking you guys to Kwekwe, don't worry.
Yeah.
Take us to South Africa. Yeah, next time you go, Ed and I mean, you know, don't take Ed anywhere near any duck ponds or anything.
Take me anywhere. This is, you know, I want to eat the tripe. I'll eat anything. I'll eat malva pudding. I'm up for all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no ducks though, sorry.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Johannes.
I can't tell you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Johannes.
Well, there we are. What a delight that was, James.
Oh, thank you, Johannes, so much. What a journey. What an education. We learned about so many different dishes we'd never heard of before. And you didn't say sparkling Thames water. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for not saying that. Once we were through the water course, we were pretty much home free, I think.
Yeah, I was relaxed. I knew that wasn't going to come up.
Yeah.
I think from now on, whenever something happens that I'm not sure about or that I don't like, I'm going to say, where do I live?
Yeah, where do I live? Where do I live?
Where do I live?
Fantastic.
Really loved it.
Loved it.
An absolute dream. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much to Johannes for coming on. Of course, you can see Johannes's new tour, House of Jojo, very, very soon. Go on to johannes-live.com for more details about the House of Jojo, which is coming to a town near you, I guess, depending on where you live.
Or you might be in the town.
Or you might be in the town. You might actually work at the theatre.
Maybe it's the city.
Yeah. Maybe it's the city. Maybe, I mean, a lot of different people listen to this. Maybe you're Johannes listening to this, in which case you don't need to buy a ticket.
Yeah, you're going to be there every night, man.
Every night.
Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to the Off Menu Podcast. We will see you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.